Fertility is an important part of life for people who want to get pregnant. The person who is trying to conceive can be hesitant about consuming or being exposed to anything that might affect their fertility. Fertility is also one of the biggest concerns that new parents have when it comes to COVID-19 and COVID-19 vaccinations. They're wanting to know, can becoming infected with COVID-19 decrease my chances of getting pregnant? Can receiving the COVID-19 vaccine further affect my fertility? It's this decision that has caused many new moms to pause when considering getting vaccinated. And the misinformation circulating around these topics doesn't make the decision any easier. This is Labor of Love. Paige Dempsey is a single mom who became pregnant with her second child through IVF. Paige wasn't sure how the COVID-19 vaccines would have impacted her fertility, but she also wasn't sure how becoming infected with COVID-19 would affect her fertility as well. I got to sit down with Paige and hear about her experience. Our first guest for today's episode is Paige Dempsey. Paige is a life coach based in Omaha, Nebraska. She caught COVID-19 when she was newly pregnant from IVF in February 2021. Paige is joining us to share her story on her COVID-19 experience and why she decided to get vaccinated towards the end of her pregnancy. Welcome, Paige.
Hello, doctor. Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about yourself and your story.
A little bit about myself. I am what's called a single mom by choice, and I'm also what you would call an advanced maternal age mom for sure. So I got married late and divorced early. I had my first son when I was just weeks shy of turning 39 and divorced my ex a couple years later. I wanted to have more children and had always had that in my mind and in my heart. So I looked into doing IVF as a single mom by choice. I am in Omaha, Nebraska, so I met with one of the fertility clinics here and quickly realized, based on my age, which at that time I would have been 45, that I probably would need to go out of state to get some good clinical services. So I went to CCRM in Denver, Colorado to do some initial meetings in 2020. So actually, right before the pandemic. Did my first round of IVF in the summer of 2020, and that was not successful. So I took a few months to kind of grieve and come back from that experience. And then I did a second round of IVF. I started doing my medications and all that stuff in the fall of 2020, and I did my transfer in January of 2021. And then in the middle of February, my son, who then was 7 turning 8, I guess he would have been 7 at the time, came home from school one weekend not feeling well, and then it all went downhill from there. He had COVID, my ex had COVID, and then I had COVID.
I can only imagine how scary that was, because still we didn't have that much information yet. So I'm very sorry for that. But I wanted to go and talk a little bit more about your journey in terms of getting pregnant, and how did the COVID-19 affect your decision to continue with IVF or to accept the vaccine or not accept the vaccine at that point in time?
Yeah, so my decision to try to get pregnant was not deterred by the COVID pandemic whatsoever, based primarily because of my age. I'm in Omaha. I went to a clinic in Denver. For me, that's an 8-hour road trip. So that did affect my travel plans. Like, I drove instead of flying, but I didn't change my plans in terms of moving forward with wanting to get pregnant. In terms of the vaccine, so I was pregnant in January, and people have done IVF. I guess I can't speak for everybody. My understanding is most women have to do, you know, I did shots and I was taking supplements and medications and all kinds of stuff. And when I got COVID, my COVID was very bad, like very strong. I had a very severe reaction. Like, I had it for the better part of a month. And so I'm not only newly pregnant, I'm newly pregnant with COVID, and I'm newly pregnant via IVF, which meant that, and I don't have a good memory for exactly how many or whatever, but I was like, had shots and meds and all these things that I had to do. And I just was like laying on the couch thinking, oh my God, if I have to go to the hospital and like take all this stuff with me, this is going to be a real problem.
And you said you got very sick. Did you have to be hospitalized?
I did not have to be hospitalized, but I was almost immobilized. I mean, I could barely leave my couch for 2 weeks, almost three. And I remember that time too, my son had a birthday in there. So I was like, I mean, I could just almost barely keep my eyes open. I did what I could at home to, like, I got a pulsometer, was checking my oxygen a couple times. It got like a little bit low, but it was fine. I was like messaging my friends who were nurses, like calling my OB and calling my clinic and, you know, keeping in communication with them. But it was two really bad weeks, a third week where I was sort of kind of starting to feel like I was coming back to life. And then like a fourth week of still trying to like get back to like regular. So that took me, you know, to the middle of March. So in terms of like getting the vaccine, this was my thought process. I understood, or at least I thought I understood, that when you have COVID, typically the antibodies hang around for like 3 months. So that's, you know, March to April to May to June. So now I'm like halfway through my pregnancy. And then one of my neighbors told me that you could go to the pharmacy here and get an antibody test later, you know, for $20 or something and just see. So I gave it a few weeks and then I went and got tested almost a month later and I was still showing positive for the antibodies. So I was like, great, maybe I won't even really need to make, like, I kind of was almost like putting off making the decision because I was thought I was naturally immune from having the antibodies in my system from having COVID. And then a little bit more, when I did a little bit more reading, or maybe I talked, I can't remember if it was my OB or who I spoke with, but somewhere I came to learn that the antibodies that your body makes aren't necessarily as protective as the ones that you would get from getting the vaccine.
Absolutely. That's a very important point, and I'm glad that your OB explained that to you.
But just something about, I like was a little bit hesitant to get the vaccine.
What do you think made you feel hesitant? And how much did the process of IVF, if having gone through all those decision-making process that you had to go through, influence your decision to delay getting the vaccine?
You know, I've thought about that. And I think a lot of it has to do with doing, you know, being on that fertility journey. There is decision fatigue, there's shot fatigue, there's medicine fatigue. And then there was sort of me thinking, like, I already got COVID. So, you know, maybe I can just sort of like wait this out. And again, I wasn't out. I stayed home. I wasn't like out bars and restaurants. Eventually, what kind of got me turned around is I had posted a picture on Facebook with me still wearing a mask going to the grocery store, because now we're, you know, this would have been a year and a half into the pandemic. A lot of people were getting kind of like pandemic fatigue and not wearing masks or not social distancing or, you know, wash your hands, like whatever. And I was like, hey, anybody still masking besides me? You know, because I feel like I'm the only one out here at Target or at the store, like wearing my mask, and not a lot of people, everybody else was. So one of my friends who was a high school friend of mine, who is an MD, PhD, very, very smart, very a person that I very much trust. She and I and a couple other folks kind of got into a little mini thread on this Facebook post about vaccines and me being pregnant and I hadn't gotten vaxxed yet. And she's like, hey, if you want to talk about this, you know, let me know. So she was nice enough to really spend some time with me talking one-on-one. And she had done some lit review and had looked at some of the studies, because I know that the organizations, you know, the med organizations around pregnant women and all that, you know, recommended getting the vax, like blanket statement. That's fine. I get it. But that's not necessarily like specific to me, right? You know?
So you knew that the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists was already recommending the vaccine in pregnancy, but you needed a little bit more information from somebody that you trusted that was close to you, it sounds like.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, when I think about this decision, it was almost like I was like not making the decision is what it, like I was avoiding, I wasn't a no, but I like wasn't a yes, but I don't really know why, because if you asked me otherwise, if it were just me not pregnant, I would have just gotten the vaccine as soon as I was eligible. So then I'm, you know, pregnant and then I'm older and then I've like invested this ton of money and time and effort and, you know, physical whatever that I've already put my body through IVF. And yeah, so I had like some little bit like, I just had some hesitancy. And so I'll probably get the details a little bit wrong. But what I remember of that conversation with my friend who was a doctor and a scientist, he said, hey, I did some research and there's some studies that have been done on first responders who were pregnant, who got the vaccine, like so people that were in hospitals and nurses and that, and maybe didn't even know they were pregnant as this was all happening. And she said there was, you know, the bottom line that she told me that I understood was there was no adverse effects that could be seen. And there were no, you know, there wasn't any statistically significant difference between, you know, women that had gotten the vaccine with like miscarriage rates or that sort of thing compared to those who had not. So, you know, just having that one-on-one conversation with like data and from a person that I like know and trusted, I think I went and signed up the next day to get my vaccine, which by this point, I got my first vaccine in August and my second 3 weeks later was like the beginning of September. And then I had my baby 3 weeks later.
I'm glad that you made that decision to get vaccinated and that you got the information that you needed in order to trust the recommendation from organizations such as ACOG. You have gone through a big journey, a long journey to get pregnant, one that can be very stressful, of course, IVF. So I'm not surprised that there was some decision fatigue on your part. And I see that with many of my own patients. There's also a lot of myths out there about how vaccine affects fertility, and that can be a deterrent to pregnant people or people who are seeking IVF from getting vaccinated. Have you heard anything about how vaccine affects fertility? Did you come across that in your circles at all?
You know, that's a good question. I don't recall specifically. I will tell you that I am in some Facebook groups of women who are, you know, IVF or single mom by choice or, you know, fertility support groups. And I did see a lot of sort of discussion among the folks in the groups, but at some point I just kind of had to like hide or, you know, what, however you do that, like hide the groups, because it's like, you know, I'm not going to look to my peers for medical advice. I'm going to look to the doctors and to the, you know, scientists in terms of what the medical advice would be. I mean, I think the question mark is, I understood that the vaccines, although they seem new, had a lot of history. And then fertility treatment has some history, but vaccine plus fertility treatment, you know, there's still maybe like a little bit of an unknown. And again, it is such an emotional investment and an expensive investment that I can see not wanting to jeopardize that. But on the flip side, you know, I agree with science. I agree with herd immunity. I agree with the need for all of us to do our part to keep our communities safe. So that was kind of the balance. Yeah.
Paige, I completely understand where you're coming from. I believe that no expectant parent wants to cause harm to their baby, and it can be a very difficult process to go through, with especially after going through IVF. And at the end of the day, I think that if we understand that the information about the vaccine is safe, I think most parents will make the decision to continue to protect the pregnancy and protect their baby as you made yourself the same decision. What would you like to tell women about getting vaccinated? Is there any message that you'd like to share?
I mean, sure, I would say do it. It was not a problem. I mean, I was thinking too, one of the hesitancies that I had is I have heard some people could get sick from the vaccine or in the same timing as the vaccine or whatever. And so, of course, I didn't want to like make myself sick since I'd already had that experience of having COVID, but it was easy. It was no problem. I had no side effects. So I think the greater good and the benefits outweigh the very, very minuscule risk that, you know, any medication poses. I think I would suggest that we, you know, talk to your provider, talk to your medical provider. I mean, I know a lot about a lot of things, but I'm not a scientist. I'm not an epidemiologist. I'm not a doctor. So in those matters, I got to look to the experts and sort of trust that they're going to know what's best for me in those situations.
Thank you for sharing that. That's very important. I think it's also important to highlight that even though one can have some minor side effects from vaccine, it pales in comparison to how sick you felt when you actually got sick with COVID. And COVID has some long-lasting effects, while the vaccine, everything that we know from the vaccine thus far seems to be very safe, both for the mom, both for the pregnant person, as well as the baby while inside the uterus and once the baby is born as well. So I wanted to thank you for sharing your story, for taking the time to talk to us. We appreciate you being here, and best of luck to you and your family.
Thank you, doctor. Thank you for having me.
Paige ultimately decided to receive the vaccine because she found a credible source of information that assured her that the vaccine won't have any impact on her pregnancy and future fertility. Paige was fortunate enough to find reliable information, but we want to recognize that others have struggled to find accurate and consistent information. We want to talk with a specialist physician and hear their recommendations regarding COVID-19 and fertility. Our second guest for today's episode is Dr. Jennifer Villavicencio. Dr. Villavicencio serves as the lead for equity transformation at the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, ACOG. She's an expert in OBGYN and complex family planning, health policy, and strategic communication of socially complex subjects. She's here today as a health expert to discuss evidence-based information around COVID-19 vaccination and fertility. Thank you for being here today, Dr. Villavicencio.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
The pleasure is ours to have you here sharing your expertise with us. As you know, our first guest was Paige, and she was pregnant with her second child through IVF. She got COVID-19 when she thought that she had taken all the precautions to try to avoid getting this infection. How can COVID-19 impact women who are pregnant with IVF?
Her story is an impactful one, and I think one that reflects that of many people across the United States and globally who have gotten COVID while they were pregnant. I think generally we know the science is very clear that COVID is more dangerous for people who are pregnant. There's a lot of reasons why, but the risk of mortality is higher, the risk of ICU admission is higher, and you know, depending on what the health of the mom or the pregnant person is, there is the potential for loss of pregnancy as well with COVID-19. And so certainly people who are pregnant by IVF may be at higher risk generally with COVID than people who are pregnant generally. We don't have data to support that just yet, but sometimes people who are undergoing IVF are doing so because they have other health conditions, they may be older, all of which may be additional risk factors for COVID that may compound that.
Can COVID-19 impact fertility, and if so, how?
So this is something that's been swirling around, and I think it's really important to address head on. COVID-19, we don't have any data right now that says that the virus impacts your ability to get pregnant in the future or fertility. What we do know is that COVID-19 can have severe impacts on your health, your general health. And we also know that general health, being a healthy individual at baseline, is an important aspect to becoming pregnant, to your fertility at baseline. It's not everything, but certainly can impact it. And so common sense would suggest that if you have COVID-19, a severe COVID-19 infection, that may impact your ability to get pregnant in the future. And I think it's really important to differentiate that from the COVID-19 vaccine, for which there are a lot of myths around fertility and the COVID-19 vaccine. And that we do know, there is absolutely no data whatsoever to support that the COVID-19 vaccine impacts your ability to get pregnant or impacts fertility.
That's a very good distinction to make. Thank you for making that distinction. When a woman like Paige gets COVID-19 and she's sick, she's dealing with so much. Is there anything that she can do to protect her baby and support her baby's health?
So when a pregnant person becomes sick, either with COVID-19 or another severe illness, what we know, and you know, Dr. Pimentel, from being a maternal fetal medicine specialist, is that the health of the pregnant person, the health of the mom, impacts the health of the baby. And so if we can get mom as healthy as possible and support mom, then we'll be supporting baby. And so what I always tell all of my patients is that what they are doing to protect their health as either someone who's trying to get pregnant or someone who is pregnant, all of those efforts are going to protecting their baby because they are where the baby is living and they are the what is supporting that pregnancy.
Absolutely. As we say generally, healthy mom, healthy baby, healthy pregnant person, healthy fetus inside. So absolutely.
Exactly.
So as you know, Paige did IVF as a single mom by choice in a time when vaccines were becoming more available and more information was coming out about the safety of vaccination in pregnancy. Yet there was and there still is a lot of misinformation about vaccines and infertility. And Paige herself saw much of this misinformation in the moms discussion groups online. So in your experience, what misinformation do you see around COVID-19 vaccines and infertility? And typically, how is it presented? Do you see it more from articles, word of mouth, social media? What has your experience been with this?
I think over the last 2 years or going on 2.5 years of the pandemic, and as we've been talking about vaccines and then seeing the vaccines developed and then rolling out the vaccines and people getting the vaccines, there's been an evolution of myths and misinformation around it. And particularly there has been myths and misinformation around fertility and the COVID-19 vaccine, as I mentioned earlier. Fertility is an incredibly important part of a lot of people's lives. Their ability to build a family, to either be pregnant or to parent or both, is something that is vitally important to many, many Americans. It follows those people who are interested in building families, interested in being pregnant, would hear about the COVID-19 vaccine, hear the misinformation that is untested. It was definitely tested, but that was compounding misinformation that happened. They'd be concerned about it. I totally understand that. I understand why Paige, who read this on a mom's group, who are people coming together to try to help each other in really trying times, would be concerned about this information. I've seen it on social media. I've seen it in articles, news articles. Well-meaning reporters are repeating myths or misinformation around this. And so it's not just, the dark corners of the internet. These myths exist. They exist everywhere. And it's why it's so important that we do things like this podcast and other measures to really combat those myths and help people understand that the COVID-19 vaccine is incredibly safe and, in fact, is supportive in terms of trying to get pregnant because it's keeping you safe from COVID-19, which potentially could impact your general health and therefore your fertility.
Excellent. Just to be very clear and to the point, again, you've already said this, but I think that's very important to hear one more time. What does the latest data say about fertility and COVID-19 vaccines?
So there is no data that supports the myth that COVID-19 vaccines impact fertility. To say that another way, all of the data that we have suggests, and we do have data, so it's not that there isn't any data. We have data, and none of it suggests that fertility and the COVID-19 vaccine are intertwined. And so getting the COVID-19 vaccine based on all of the information that we have now will not impact your fertility.
So if a patient or a person is trying to conceive and is going through the route of either infertility or trying to conceive spontaneously, what is your recommendation to that person?
I recommend that everybody who is eligible for the vaccine and everybody who is eligible for the booster receive the vaccine and the booster. It is safe to get when you are pregnant. It is safe to get while you are trying to get pregnant and safe when you are not trying to get pregnant. And so at any point in time, if you haven't had any of the steps of the vaccine, I highly encourage you to get it.
You've heard it, folks. So what ways have you tried to combat misinformation? I mean, you're here in this podcast doing that, of course, but what other ways have you tried to combat misinformation with pregnant people, with the community?
One thing that I think is really important that oftentimes public health officials or doctors, healthcare professionals miss is the way that people intake information and the way that people understand information. And I think that that's really important in combating misinformation. We can spout all of the data we want, say all the percentages, all of which are true and factual and real and important. But if we're not connecting with the real reasons why people are afraid, are nervous, are hesitant to receive these vaccines, we're not going to reach them. We need to understand that there are not only historical hesitancies around vaccines that are completely warranted, particularly in marginalized communities and communities of color, but certainly hesitancies around these myths, around things that are incredibly important to a majority of Americans, like building family. And so what I do is I try to understand where the people who are either believing these or concerned about these myths are coming from and address the underlying concerns. They're scared. They're nervous. They're worried. It's not that they are these anti-vax people who are anti-vax for no reason. There is something underlying that. And I think combating the misinformation really requires us to move deeply into those reasons and connect with the person that's sitting in front of us or the communities that are asking us to connect with them and speak to those needs and speak to those issues rather than just spouting facts at them.
Excellent way of doing things. I agree with that 100%. Paige talked about being hesitant about making a decision. In fact, she discussed having decision overload, so many decisions to make throughout her journey to becoming a mom for the second time via IVF. What advice do you give to patients who may be struggling to conceive or maybe dealing with so many decisions? It might not be so much IVF, but sometimes it's because they have other issues that they're dealing with their lives and they're struggling to make the decision to get vaccinated or at least get vaccinated right away.
As you're saying this, I'm sitting here nodding my head because all of the things that you brought up are so salient to so many Americans and so many families. Decision fatigue, particularly in the middle of a pandemic, the need to make really life and death decisions is happening and is burning people out. And so I think the first thing that I want to offer folks who are listening to this or to my colleagues who have patients that are feeling this is validation, that Paige is completely validated in feeling and having felt that decision fatigue and what she was going through. IVF can be a really complex, tiring process, particularly if you have kids already at home, even if you don't. Day-to-day living in a pandemic as a single mom can be really, really challenging. And, you know, I want to validate that is particularly difficult for people of lower income, people who live in, you know, lower resourced areas, people of color who experience racism every day. All of these things compound to make burnout and, you know, thinking about the vaccine and weighing the pros and cons really, really difficult. And sometimes it can be easier to just lean on, I'm not going to get it today. I've seen that with my patients. They're like, I can't think about this right now. I've got too many other things going on. And so what I would like to offer them in addition to the validation for that feeling is that you don't have to think too much about it. This vaccine has been given to billions of people at this point. We know that it is safe. And so in the same way that when you get in your car and you put your seatbelt on, that's not a decision you're making. It's something that you do because you know that it is going to keep you safe. I would recommend that the vaccine, you approach that in the same way. The vaccine is something that you do because it's safe. You know that it's safe and it's going to keep you safe from a really, really scary disease.
Thank you for that information. You know, Paige was fortunate that she was surrounded by people who helped her make what turned out to be the right decision for her and her family. And she was able to find credible information on the vaccine. What credible sources do you point your patients to regarding COVID-19 vaccines, especially with regards to fertility?
So in general, I usually point people to the CDC. When it comes to COVID-19 vaccines, they're usually the most up-to-date resource. With regards to fertility, families, parenting, pregnancy, I definitely recommend the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, or ACOG. That's who I work for. They've been done a and continue to do a phenomenal job in responding not only to the evolving evidence around COVID-19 and obstetrics and gynecologic patients, but also in responding to patient concerns and doctors' concerns. And so there's a lot of great resources on there. There's 7 reasons why you should get the COVID-19 vaccine. There's excellent statements on fertility in the COVID-19 vaccine, all of which are available on the website. So I highly recommend visiting acog.org for all of those who are looking for information.
Thank you. Bring it back to Paige. Paige is an older mom, and we do know that obstetrical complications are more likely to happen in women who are older when compared to their younger counterparts. So Paige went through IVF, and for women in similar situation or similar age as Paige, what advice do you give them about staying healthy in today's world?
Typically, people who are undergoing IVF may be doing so because they have either they're a little bit older and trying to get pregnant, or they have a health condition that's making it more difficult to get pregnant without the help of assisted reproductive technology. And so optimizing your health in whatever way possible, I think, is really helpful. I want to just make a statement that you're not old if you're doing IVF. You're not old if you're advanced maternal age. We have, there's quite a bit of ageism that happens around fertility. And so it's really a measure of how well your ovaries are functioning. It doesn't mean anything about you or your life or how good of a mom or parent that you can be. I think that in terms of being healthy in today's world, it can be really, really challenging. I think getting all of your vaccines, following public health guidance, making sure that you're doing as best as you can to avoid smoking and drinking and trying to eat healthy. Those are all things that can be challenging to do in today's world. And so also giving yourself grace. I think taking care of your mental health is an incredibly important part of staying healthy in today's world, particularly if you are someone who is struggling with infertility and either deciding to undergo assisted reproductive technology and IVF or undergoing it. Really taking care of your mental health and paying attention to the feelings that you're having and allowing yourself to feel the overwhelm that is natural with all of those things and getting support from that. And I hope that folks who have support systems are tapping into those, and those that don't are able to seek those from external resources.
You just said a word that I use quite often, which is grace. And I think that's very important for all of us to extend ourselves some grace during this very complicated and unique time. And for somebody like Paige, who was experiencing, understandably so, decision fatigue, to extend herself some grace and for all of us to do the same. So thank you for saying that. I think that's a very important point, a very important message. Thank you, Dr. Via Vicencio, for being here today, sharing your knowledge with us, your expertise and experience, and also for bringing your health equity lens to this discussion, which I think is very important and very much needed.
Thank you so much for having me. I've really loved being able to talk about this subject, and thank you so much for this podcast. I think it's going to really make a huge impact in the way that people view COVID-19 and pregnancy and the other struggles that are going on in the modern world.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Labor of Love. In our next episode, we're going to talk about the common myths surrounding COVID-19 vaccination. We're going to hear from a mom who had a difficult time early on in the pandemic, trying to decide to get vaccinated while pregnant due to lack of concrete guidance at the time.
When you're pregnant and when you're having a baby, your entire feed fills up with, you know, influencer moms and influencer pregnant people and you know, baby raising sleep tips and feeding tips and this and that. It is a wild west and there is so much misinformation.
Then we'll talk with a maternal health expert to hear the latest recommendations and dismantle common myths about vaccinations.
You know, this is where, again, information is critical. And for many of my patients, they would come in with a list of things that they read on social media, and not always from the most reliable source. So I would have a conversation with them and just review what they read and provide them with the accurate information. Many times it's providing the right information from the right source that gives patients peace of mind.
Until then, if you know a pregnant woman who's not sure about getting vaccinated or not, share this podcast with them. And rate and review this podcast wherever you're listening. To learn more about these recommendations and for additional resources, visit the following websites, acog.org/COVID-19 and cdc.gov/COVID-19. This is Dr. Vero Pimentel, your fellow mom, OBGYN physician, and host of Labor of Love. You can find me on Twitter at Dr. Vero Pimentel or on Instagram at Dr. Vero for Moms. Thank you.